grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to shine on those living in the land of the shadow of death. Scatter our darkness with your preaching of repentance, and use us to bring your kingdom to those around us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first lesson for today is taken from Isaiah chapters 8 and 9. God's Old Testament people were going after all the wrong things, looking for guidance in life and in death. But God tells them and us today, to the law and to the prophets, go to my word, that is your light of dawn. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of our God. We continue with the next hymn, "The Lord is My Light." Our second lesson from 1 John chapter 2, the Lord encourages us, now that my light has shined on you, walk in that light, live according to Jesus' teachings, and show love for your brothers and sisters. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are saved in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. This is the word of our God. We continue with the anthem. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel from Matthew chapter 4 also serves as the basis for our sermon today. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. May you take your seats for the hymn of the day. Mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Amen. Every day along the lake shore, we have an opportunity to view one of the most beautiful sights in all creation, a sunrise. Looking out over Lake Michigan, to see as the blackness of night turns to purple, then a hazy blue, to see the deep reds creeping up over the horizon, the bright orange, rays cutting through and past the clouds, beams coming across the lake and the waters shimmering, reflecting the light. Before you know it, the entire sun is up above the horizon, shining light on people and plants, and life all over this region. Now, that breathtaking picture doesn't happen just by accident. It's not just due to forces of inertia or gravity put in place a long time ago. That breathtaking picture is a promise kept. After the flood, God told Noah, "As long as the world endures, neither seed time nor harvest, cold nor heat, winter nor summer, day or night will ever cease. What a beautiful promise of our God. Something that many people look at and say, well, that's routine, that's explainable, a sunrise. Yet there are many things like that in life that may seem routine and explainable, but they are really promises kept by our loving God. As we take a closer look this morning at Matthew chapter 4, Jesus shifts his ministry focus into Galilee, and some might see, well, there are explainable causes and effects going on there, but this was really the Lord at work behind Jesus' ministry, fulfilling his promises. And through Jesus' ministry that is carried out here in our area of the world as well, God is at work behind that and fulfilling promises behind that for us as the promised light is shining on the people in darkness and through Jesus' preaching of repentance. Now, last week we heard in the gospel lesson how John the Baptist pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. After John did that, he did not stop pointing. John was also pointing out sins in people's lives, calling them to repentance as he pointed to Jesus as well. One of the people's sins that he pointed out was Herod. John said, Herod, it's not right, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife and to take her as your own. So this Herod, Herod Antipas, who was the son of Herod the Great, the one who had all the babies in Bethlehem slaughtered, that Herod Antipas had John the Baptist thrown into prison. Things were not looking so bright for John the Baptist. But from all outward appearances, we could say they didn't look so bright for Jesus either at this time. After John pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus ended up going and spending some ministry time down in Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, Jesus drove out the money changers, tipped over their tables in the temple. Jesus also healed a man on the Sabbath, which was a big no-no for the Jews. Jesus also spoke of himself as the Son of God, claiming to be equal to God. So the Jews already at that time, early on after Jesus' baptism and temptation in the wilderness, the Jews were persecuting him down in Judea, in Jerusalem, and looking to kill him. But his time had not yet come. Jesus went up to Nazareth and preached in the synagogue, got a pretty dark welcome there too. They wanted to throw Jesus off of a cliff for his preaching. So Jesus went and settled in Capernaum. He lived there, made that his ministry base of operations. Even though things weren't looking so bright for John the Baptist or for Jesus, the light was really shining. God used this turn of events, this portion of Jesus' life and ministry, to fulfill a prophecy from Isaiah. Listen again. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That portion of Israel, just to the west of the Sea of Galilee and to the north of the Sea of Galilee, that was allotted to Naphtali and Zebulun all the way back at the time of the Israelites taking over the promised land. And down through the centuries, that truly was a land of darkness and death. Century after century, there were battles and bloodshed in that region. Battles between the natives of that country, the neighboring nations, nations far off looking to expand their borders. Battles that took place with the Canaanites and the Egyptians, that took place with the Arameans and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans. And at the time of Isaiah, who made this prophecy, it was with the Assyrians. They came down from the north, they attacked and besieged and captured the people living in those lands and carried them off. They replaced those people then with peoples from all kinds of different nations, brought in their religions. And even though the true Lord was worshipped to some extent, it was only a fraction of the faith that was held and practiced in that region then, that region known as Galilee of the Gentiles. So that spiritual darkness there, the darkness of death there, a thick, deep cloud. But that kind of cloud also hangs over our land as well. I don't know how often you think about it, but there is a lot of death here in our country, in the violence and the shootings, in cancer and heart attacks, in diabetes and in other dementia and diseases, in accidents and addictions. In our country, almost 7,500 people a day die. And that means over the course of the year, it's between about 2.5 million and 3 million people die right here in our country. The death that hits so many people in our lives, 100% of us have been affected by it, either a relative or a friend or someone we know. But there's also a heavy spiritual darkness in our country. In our day and age here, fewer and fewer people know the Lord. More and more people are falling away from the Lord. Over a quarter of the population of America claims no affiliation, no connection to religion. And more people are being content to take, well, a little mixture of this religion and that religion, maybe throw in a little Christianity here, and make that their own. Yet you and I are not unaffected by this darkness either, this deep shadow that hangs over our land. You and I deserve death because darkness is our natural condition. Yet today, just like a beautiful sunrise breaking over the horizon, God wants to remind you and me that the promised light is shining. God promised that Jesus' light would go to the ends of the earth, and it has come here to Sheboygan County, to Howard's Grove, to the Lakeshore area. That light is shining on us, and it's not just any light. It's the great light. It's Jesus, the one who created light in the beginning. In him is no darkness at all. In him is life, and that life is our light. He is our light and our salvation, as we sang in the psalm. He is with us always to the very end of the age. And that Jesus who shines his light on us, he has come among us. He is with two or three whenever they are gathered together in his name. Jesus guides our feet. He's a lamp to our path with his word. Just like a beautiful and breathtaking sunrise, but even more so. Jesus is more beautiful than any sunrise. He's more dependable than any sunrise that comes up day after day, our whole lives through. Jesus is more dependable than that. He brings more hope than a sunrise at a new day. And Jesus scatters the darkness more so than any rising sun in the brightest, hottest summer day. Jesus scatters all of our darkness completely with his light and his life. Nothing more breathtaking than Jesus. The promised light is shining on us, the people in darkness, but also through Jesus' preaching of repentance. Preaching sometimes gets a bad rap. In many areas, preaching is undervalued, but it's highly important. Preaching is when someone who's very important and high up sends a message or an announcement through a messenger to people that he considers important too. God has been doing this since before the time of the flood, sending heralds, ambassadors, messengers with important news for people. Just as God sent the prophets to his Old Testament people, the Father sent Jesus to preach here in Galilee. And this is how Matthew summarizes Jesus' preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, hold on a second. I thought Jesus was supposed to be this amazing light. And this is his sermon? This is what he preaches? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near? That's the same sermon that John the Baptist preached too. If you look back in Matthew 3, that's old school, isn't it? Shouldn't Jesus, the true light, come up with something a little bit shinier, something more creative, something that more people can latch onto, something that will really sees the younger generation, this preaching, this sermon that Matthew describes here, isn't it kind of simple and basic? Well, yes, it is. It's simple and basic, like light and darkness. Jesus wants to shine the light on the most important things for you and me. And so the first word he uses is repent. That means to have a change of mind, to turn your life around, to stop going the direction that you were headed. He wants us to change our minds about sin. Turn away from it. That's what Jesus did in his Sermon on the Mount as he looked at different areas of Christian living, whether it was following the law or showing love, whether it was marriage or money, whether it was prayer or the promises people make. He was encouraging people to repent. And he says so to you and me today too. He says, repent. Turn away from your indifference toward the darkness. Turn away from your selfishness and your recklessness. Turn away from your worry and your bitterness. Repent. But Jesus also shines the light on the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is near. And that's so important for you and me to remember, because our natural tendency is to think, heaven, that's a long ways off. I don't have to worry about that right now. I've got all kinds of other things down here that can keep me busy, that I can enjoy, or maybe that I can worry about. I'll worry about heaven some later time. That's off in the future. And then maybe then I'll really seriously strive toward it or go after it. No, Jesus says, change your mind about that. Turn away from that attitude toward heaven. The kingdom of heaven is near. The picture there is that God's kingdom has come to us, and it's right next to us right now. And that's the way it works, isn't it? We can't go to God. We can't work our way to God. God comes to us. He approaches you and me, and he says, now is the time. Right now, your eternal soul hangs in the balance, and so do the souls of all those around you. Right now is the time. Jesus could return at any moment. You could be called out of this life any moment. The kingdom of heaven is near, at hand, right by you. And all the more as Jesus preaches that. Yes, as you look up here, you see this 40-year-old balding preacher. But these are Jesus' words for you. And Jesus says, I'm the one who came from heaven for you. I'm the one who obtained and won heaven for you at the cross. I'm the one who rose from the dead and went back into heaven. I'm the one who has made you an heir of heaven in your baptism and gives you a foretaste of heaven in communion. I'm the one who in heaven is ruling over all things in heaven and under heaven. I'm the one who from heaven gives you pastors and teachers and evangelists and parents and grandparents too, who point you to heaven. I'm the one who is pleading for you at my Father's right hand in heaven. I'm the one who will come again from heaven, and in me, heaven is yours. Believe it, embrace it, and live like someone who's going there. Preaching is really quite simple, isn't it? It's as simple as light and darkness, as simple as law and gospel, as simple as sin and forgiveness, as simple as repenting and heaven. That is the preaching that your pastors strive to bring you week in and week out. That's the preaching that God's people want to hear and listen to and follow. That's the preaching that we've been blessed to have here at St. Paul's for over 150 years. And by God's grace, we pray we'll have that kind of preaching here until Jesus comes again. Preaching that shines Jesus' light on our souls, that rescues us from darkness and ushers us into heaven itself. That promised light is shining in Jesus' preaching of repentance. Now, just as surely as the sun rises each day, that means in the evening we can expect a sun set, right? But the sun doesn't actually stop shining. It actually just shines on a different part of the world. As long as the promised light is shining here in Sheboygan County, here among us, let's look to that light. Let's live in that light and follow that light and share that light with others. The promised light is shining on us who are in darkness, and also through Jesus' preaching of repentance. Praise God for that light. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join to confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Dear Jesus, we praise you for fulfilling your promise to shine on us living in darkness. May your word shine brightly on our hearts and lives. Help us to walk in your light by living in love toward each other. Let your light scatter our sin and lead us to heaven, since you have conquered our death and risen to shine forever. Heavenly Father, we praise you for watching over Sharon Paul through her recent hospital stay and successful heart-related procedures. Please grant her continued recovery from home. Thank you also for the loving concern and support that your children receive from their families and from their brothers and sisters in Christ during times of trial. Lord, you are the author of life. In your grace, you granted a healthy birth last week for Colt James Trutchell, born to Tyler and Brittany. Please bless them and his big sister, Tegan. Keep them in your loving care and grant Colt new life in his upcoming baptism. Holy Spirit, we praise you for gathering believers into this visible church here at St. Paul's and for the ministry and fellowship that we share here. As we celebrate our annual meeting this weekend, preserve us in your mercy. Help us to give thanks for your blessed work among us, and help us to continue growing in Christ and going with Christ to the world around us. Heavenly Father, we also thank you for watching over Lenora Girac through her recent procedures to help her with swallowing. We ask in your mercy, please grant her relief and recovery, or in your wisdom, call her home to heaven when the time is right. Please continue to be with her and her family. And in Jesus' name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In the past, he spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may take your seats. Thank you so much for joining us in God's house this morning, both you who are here in person and who are watching online or on TV. Coming up after our service today, we have our annual Brat Fry, and then the voters meeting happening after that. This afternoon, we have a youth group sledding get-together at Volrath Park in northern Sheboygan. If for some reason we get out there and it's too muddy or melting, we can come back here to school and we'll have some games and hot chocolate. Either way, we'll come back for some hot chocolate after the sledding. Then we pastors are gone at conference up in Door County tomorrow and Tuesday. But if anyone asks, there is still church tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., our normal Monday evening service time. Dan Rabine also has an update on the audiovisual assistance.
The last couple of weeks we had a note in the bulletin and up on the wall here about additional help for audio video, and I'm really happy to say that we received enough help for running the audio on Sunday mornings in the church here. We had a number of volunteers, so I thank all of them for volunteering. We still do need some additional help for is the second part of it for the video that we have to upload for making it available to the cable TV, YouTube, and podcasts. So right now we have two individuals signed up, but we could use 2 to 3 more so that the same people don't have to do it every week. What that involves is taking the flash drive from the recorder here. It'll have an electronic file of the video on, and logging into YouTube and the cable channel. So you don't have to do it even here at church. You could upload the files once here, and you could do some of it at home. It does need to be done on Sunday, so you need to be available on Sunday, but it doesn't involve anything during the service, none of the recording. It's all after the service and work of essentially logging into some sites and uploading files. If anybody would be willing to help with that, certainly would appreciate it. I'll be here for the rest of the day's events here. Feel free to talk to me about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. And then after any other announcements you might have, we'll say a prayer before heading down to the Brat Fry. But are there any other announcements that should be highlighted today? All right, if not, let's join in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for feeding us with your word and letting your light shine on us in your grace and your life. Thank you for blessing our congregation with another year of ministry and fellowship together. Please bless our Brat Fry and our annual meeting today. And join us as we pray the common table prayer together. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Amen. God's blessings on the rest of your day.